Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At final hour, getting ready for Christmas for sure. And you got obviously the Lions' big game against the Vikings. Lions have to win out. Green Bay has to lose out. So Lions have to not only win at Minnesota, then they have to win the season finale at home against the Bears, or actually on the road against the Bears. And the Packers have to lose on Saturday night at home against the Ravens, and then they have to lose on the road at Minnesota to finish up the season. It's not impossible. In fact, I expect the Lions to beat Minnesota, and I think the game against the Bears is going to be really interesting. And I think it'll be interesting because I think the Packers, if we get Lamar Jackson playing for Baltimore, that could be very problematic for Green Bay. And the other thing is Green Bay doesn't know who's playing quarterback. You know, Jordan Love got rocked, and so did Malik Willis, the backup quarterback. He got rocked. So we don't even know who's going to play on Saturday. It's a short week for them as well. They lose a day because of the game on Saturday. And if the Ravens take care of business, then that puts all types of pressure in that finale against the Vikings. And same situation with the Vikings with their quarterback. We don't know who's playing on Thursday at this point. J.J. McCarthy was in concussion protocol. And their backup is nothing to write home about. Is it Browser? Is that who it is? If he has to play, then, I really feel chesty about the Lions. We have some ticket texts that have come in at 248-539-9797. If you recall, our offensive line's worst showing of the entire year was against the Vikings. Just saying, that's Jeff and Petoskey. So that game, the Lions lost 27-24. And not a great performance from the offensive line. Jared Goff was sacked 5 times in the game. Still had a decent game, 284 yards passing and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Lions only ran for 65 yards in the game, which is well below their average on the season. The offensive line they had that day was pretty much their starting offensive line. It was intact. Sam Laporta did play. Brock Wright was playing in that game. So they had their offense intact. What I do remember about that game was David Montgomery fumbling. I remember, was there a blocked field goal attempt? And I think there was a kick return that went a long ways for Minnesota. If I go back and look at this box score, if I'm not mistaken, yes, there was It was a 51-yard return, if I'm not mistaken. A 61-yard return by Miles Price. So you had some breakdowns there that allowed the Vikings to eventually win that game. Because defensively, when you look at the numbers, the Lions weren't bad. J.J. McCarthy threw for 143 yards, had two touchdowns and one interception. But the Vikings were able to run the ball. And that was a problem. And this is where we get into the slippery slope with the offensive and defensive lines of the Lions, where the problems are. And it reared its ugly head against Pittsburgh as well. Not able to run the ball and not able to stop the run. Line of scrimmage is vitally important to the success of any team. And it's in both phases, offense and defense. We talked earlier in the show about getting used to the Lions, that this is a team that's going to have to outscore other teams, that their offense is going to have to carry the water for the rest of the team in a lot of these games. It's not that the defense can't get it done. We've seen games where the defense absolutely gets it done. But by and large, you feel like it's a race to 30 points, or at least to 25 points. And the game against the Steelers was just, it was so frustrating because of the huge runs they had. They had two 45-yard touchdown runs that I don't think anybody expected Warren to go for, you know, 140-something yards and limited carries, let alone have two long touchdown runs like that. They had a 45-yard touchdown reception on a play that I'm still convinced was offensive pass interference, but whatever. Lions had their chance to win it at the end, and they didn't get it done. And that hurt. But one of the reasons they didn't get get it done throughout the game is because they couldn't run the football. 17 yards rushing on 12 carries is not getting it done. Actually, what was it? 15 yards rushing on 12 carries. He had 17 was the long. Montgomery busted one for 17. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs had a 6-yard run. And then the other 10 carries accounted for minus 8 yards. That's a problem, because we've seen this offense be so good running the football. We know that all it takes is a little crease for Jahmyr Gibbs to get through, and he's gone. We've seen that multiple times this year. We've seen it with David Montgomery. If he gets through that second level, and now you got him lined up on safeties, look out. He's going to bowl you over. And he's got some deceptive speed, too. The last game against the Vikings, that didn't happen. That was a problem. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number to talk to us, or to text us if you like to go that route as well. Kang, when you look at this game coming up against the Vikings, what do you remember about the last game that clearly has to improve? Or, you know, you're not as chesty about this game as I am.
You talking about the last time they played the Vikings?
Last time they played the Vikings.
Well, I think the last thing that stood out to me with the Vikings game was the fact that J.J. McCarthy came through when it mattered. And that was a big deal. Like, I think he's had a couple, I feel like, coming out parties they thought this year, you know, with McCarthy, right? And then it kind of reverts back to he's basically in his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, but that's what stood out to me the last time the Lions played the Vikings, was J.J. McCarthy came through when it mattered. And I don't know who's going to be at quarterback this week. If it's J.J., you can't let him beat you. You can't let him, if you're going to make him scramble, you got to make him scramble to his left, not to his right, where he can throw the ball, because he's got a very good arm. If it's the backup quarterback, you just got to do your work. I mean, you cannot let a second, third string quarterback beat you. But if it's J.J., don't let him beat you.
Yeah, and I think the thing you can't forget about the Vikings is they do have weapons. They have weapons that can carry the ball, and they have weapons that can catch the football. And that gives any quarterback, I guess, a fighting chance. But if it's their backup quarterback playing this game, I feel a lot better about it. Even if it's I'm not scared of J.J. McCarthy. I think that you know, the Lions can handle a quarterback like that. What they couldn't handle were individual moments in the game. Like I said, a fumble, uncharacteristic fumble from David Montgomery that turned into a short field. You had a huge kick return in the game, 61 yards. That was completely unexpected. And he had a blocked field goal, also unexpected. And the Lions lost the game. I think there's a little bit of revenge factor in this one. And this is clearly, it's must win. This is, we can talk about cliches in the fifth week of the season. Is this a must win game? Week 12. Is this a must win game? This is literally must win. You don't win, you have no chance of making the playoffs. So they got to get it done. Some text coming in. The running scheme has been bad too. How many times do we see the guards trying to pull and completely whiffing on their blocks, and Gibbs has an unblocked defender crushing him 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage? Our guys clearly could not execute the scheme that he was calling. That's on coaching. I don't know if that's on coaching or if that's just the inability of a player to get his job done. If you're unable to get the job done, then somebody else has to step up that can get the job done. But if you're so far down the chopping block here, if you're working with your third string player at a position, then it is what it is. But if they're calling plays that are to be executed by players that can't execute that play, then sure, some of that blame will go on the coaching staff. But I tend to look at the players more than I look at the coach first on that. When you have unblocked players, that's a missed assignment. Because I can't believe that there's a play that's called where someone isn't accounted for. Lions have gotten away from using David Montgomery. Ben Johnson used to alternate him and Gibbs per series, and it worked. Campbell is hoping Gibbs bust home runs, and I'd rather get little chunks and keep the chains moving than waiting for the explosive run from Gibbs. That's from Frank the Mailman. I think there might be some truth to that, in that certainly the way I guess that they've used the two running backs in the past looked like it was a more equitable split than what we've seen this season. What we've seen lately, for sure. I thought we were going to see some more of Montgomery. They talked about it last week, like they were going to use. We were going to see more of Montgomery, and we really didn't. But the running game as a whole just wasn't working at all against the Steelers to even have that happen. But I thought that just having Montgomery on the field as an extra blocker would make sense too. Maybe that changes this week. I don't know. But yeah, it did seem like there was more of an equitable split last year than there is this year. Is that conscious? Is that by design? Is that falling in love with the home run ability of Jahmyr Gibbs too much? Maybe. Guys, I think it's pretty simple. Injuries and the O-line being subpar is the reason the Lions' offense has struggled. It's not DC's play calling or anything else. They need a superstar O-line to function. They need a superior offensive line to function properly. That's from Brad in Phoenix. I don't know if they need a superior offensive line. I think they need to have a good offensive line. And they have there are elements that are there. Obviously, Penei Sewell is outstanding at right tackle. I think Taylor Decker is above average at left tackle. But Taylor Decker is getting banged up each and every week. He doesn't practice anymore. Is he as effective? And your guard situation, you got a rookie guard at the right side, and then you've got effectively a rookie on the left side, Christian Mahogany, who now has come back from an injury, and he's playing. And then at center, I don't know what they're going to have on Thursday. Could be a guy making his second career start. Could be Graham Glasgow coming back from an injury. We'll see what that is. But the offensive line has been an issue for this team, and that's, I think, probably the number one thing they're going to have to look at in the offseason to see if they can fix. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. All right, a couple more texts to go through here before we hear from Dan Campbell. Inexcusable for great running backs not to be given a drop of daylight to run. Run blocking a mess. I agree. The game against the Steelers was an absolute mess, and we've seen several games this year where it's been non-existent. Teams just shut it down. The Packers have done a marvelous job over the last few years of shutting down Jahmyr Gibbs in the running game. And we've seen the Lions shift at times. Okay, if you're going to stop Jahmyr Gibbs in a running game, they're going to throw the ball to him a lot. You know, where he's targeted double-digit times in a game. And you might have actually double-digit receptions in a game. But in the meantime, the running game wasn't working. MCDC will be the reason this team has changed and ultimately the reason they will never make a Super Bowl. He's unwilling to strategize. He's stuck in his ways. Which is an interesting text to get us to what we wanted to hear from Dan Campbell when he spoke this morning with Stoney and Jansen in the morning show Stoney in for Costa this week. You know, one of the things that fans have complained about forever with Dan Campbell is the Dan Gamble stuff, going for it on fourth down and whatever, and eschewing the opportunity to kick a field goal. It happened on Sunday against the Steelers early in the game. Lions had a chance at fourth and three inside the 10-yard line to go ahead and kick a field goal. And Dan Campbell said, nope, we're gonna go for it. And the play failed. And it's been brought up all the time by fans and media alike. You know, it was going to the decision to go for it on fourth down and instead of kicking the field goal. And here's what Dan Campbell had to say about that decision on Sunday against the Steelers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So this is what we live and die with Dan Campbell. If we love Dan Campbell, it can also be, you're also allowed to be critical and say, I love Dan Campbell. I just wished he'd be a little bit more conservative at times with the fourth down calls, which is kind of where I'm at. To me, there's like this imaginary line where if it's fourth and two or fourth and one, I don't mind going for it. But for some reason, fourth and three sticks out as that's tough. I'd rather kick a field goal of fourth and three. Now, everything is about circumstances and situations and where you're at and all that, right? And what you feel the game is going to be like. In fairness to Dan Campbell, even though I was first guessing and say, kick the field goal, kick the field goal, kick the field goal, this was so early in the game that you don't know what you're in a battle with. You don't know at this point whether or not you're going to be able to run the football or if it's going to be, you know, a white knuckle ride the whole way to see who can get to, you know, the 25 points first. You don't know this because it's that early in the game. Once a pattern's been established and let's say you're halfway through the second quarter and you realize that you're not able to run the ball and it's going to be a tight game, it might be easier to say on fourth and three, hey, you know what, we're going to take the points, we're going to kick the field goal. But early in the game, I can understand why he did it. Again, I wouldn't have, but I'm still fine with Dan Campbell's head coach. But I get why people get upset because this isn't a one-off. I mean, this is a constant thing. And you heard him say in that cut, 100 times out of 100, he's going to go for it in that situation. And you have to relook at what that situation was. You know, fourth and three from, I figured where I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was from like the 4 or 5 yard line, is different than fourth and three from the 35. Because the thing is, if you don't get it, then you've pinned that other team deep and, you know, it's a kind of a field position thing. I understand it. I disagree with it at times. And Sunday was one of those times that I would disagree with it. The other thing that has been brought up, I'm sorry, King.
I was just going to say, also, I think you have to look at how they've done on fourth down this year as a whole. And yeah, they just have not been as successful as
the
years past. Maybe you just don't have the team or the players to execute those plays anymore on fourth down. So maybe be a little more conservative, especially where you're at in the game, and just take the points and then see how the game is going, where you have to be more aggressive. Because I think they just don't have the same horses they did last year to run these fourth down plays because they're clearly not executing it on the same level they were last year or the year before.
Yeah, it's different when your offensive line was much better in years past, and it's different when you got Sam Laporta available to you as well, who is as reliable as it gets. And it's different when you've got a completely healthy Amon-Ra St. Brown, who may or may not have a hand injury, which could explain away why he's dropped a bunch of passes this year. Still an incredibly effective receiver, and I love Amon-Ra, but I think obviously something's wrong this year with him that we'll find out about probably at the end of the season. So yeah, I agree with it. Those are all reasons that go into perhaps why I wouldn't do this, why I wouldn't go for it on fourth and three all the time. But that's Dan Campbell. And the other decision in the game that was tough was you have first and goal from the one with 22 seconds left in the game and a timeout. And lots of people are expecting at this point that David Montgomery would come into the game and he'd hand the ball off to your big bull running back and he'll punch it in the end zone and give the Lions the lead with less than 20 seconds to go. And that wasn't the case. Instead, they called a pass play. It was a pick play with Isaac Tesla and Amon-Ra St. Brown. St. Brown caught the ball for an apparent touchdown, but the flag was there for pass interference because of the pick play. And when you look back at the play, it's a little controversial. Some people think that he was pushed into the other defender. I don't agree with that. I think that he could have avoided it, and he didn't. And I think he kind of lowers his shoulder, actually, when he makes contact with the defender. And what's really frustrating about that play is when you go back and watch it, I think St. Brown's going to be open regardless if Tesla is involved with the play or not. Because I just think the corner, when they would make the switch, it's just he's not in position, period. And would not have been in position. But nonetheless, it happened. But Dan Campbell talked about the decision to throw it in that instance instead of using David Montgomery. It's interesting how he said that, and we scored, and it didn't work out. Didn't work out because it was an offensive pass interference call that I tend to think that most of the players in that locker room feel like it should have been called that way. And whether you agree or disagree that it should have been interference, in the end, it was. It was pass interference. And that's a play that, you know, second guessing, would he try it again next time and run the ball? Maybe. But I don't necessarily think it's learning from a mistake necessarily. They called the right play. It worked for a touchdown, but execution, part of it is avoiding a penalty, and Tesla did not avoid the penalty on that play, which is really unfortunate. And that's where we're at. And that's why the Lions are on the outside looking in. Instead of having a little more wiggle room, Would have been nice to have that ninth win. Instead, it's a seventh loss.
I understand the people that want to run the ball there, but I think it's just my opinion. I think they may be gun shy about running the ball anymore. I talked about this earlier while they started that drive with a minus 3 yard carry.
Yeah.
You know, to get even down to the goal line. Fortunately, they were able to get down there anyways. But I think at that point, I think he was like, I don't want to lose any more yardage. Ultimately, they lost yardage because of OPI. But, you know, you don't foresee that. But, I mean, yeah, the run game was just not working. They completely abandoned it because there was very little progress made with it.
Oh, man. I mean, the way that game was going on that last drive, they were moving the ball so easily. And then I thought at one point, wow, they just throw a touchdown pass here. And that was before the penalties. And now they went out of bounds at the 4 yard line or whatever. And then they move forward. They get the first down. It's first and goal from the one. And they just couldn't finish it off. And they thought they did it twice. They had two touchdowns, both of them called back. And now it is what it is. 8-7 instead of 9-6. And now the Lions are in a real peril of not making the playoffs. I'm still hopeful that they can make it. I'm not optimistic about it because a lot has to happen. I mean, Green Bay's got to lose two games. I think after this week, things are going to tighten up because I think the Lions beat the Vikings. And Lamar Jackson plays for Baltimore. I think Baltimore beats the Packers. And it sets up a showdown at the end of the season where the Packers have to win. And the Lions have to win. We'll see what happens. They're not playing each other. Packers are playing at Minnesota to finish off. The Lions playing at Chicago to finish off. But none of that matters unless the Lions get things done on Thursday, Christmas Day, at Minnesota against the Vikings. More of your calls and texts as we continue here at 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So we set up a Twitter poll question earlier in the show, a couple hours ago. And it was simple. It was, which team is surprising you the most this season? The Detroit Lions, the Detroit Red Wings, or the Detroit Pistons? We've had over 700 votes to this point, Kang. And I'm curious to see if you have a guess, if you haven't looked at this, of the Twitter poll that we have out there. Which team is surprising you the most this season, the Lions, Red Wings, or Pistons?
Oof. Which team surprises people the most? I guess, okay, my personal answer is the Lions, but I'm thinking the people are going to pick the Pistons.
The people have spoken. And coming in at third place with 22% of the vote so far, and you can continue to vote if you'd like, at DougAndGator971 is our Twitter handle. 22.2% of the vote comes the Red Wings, the first place in the division, Red Wings. In second place at 31.4% of the vote, the Detroit Lions. People surprised at where they're at this point in the season. And leading the way, which I agree with you. I'm not surprised that this is what the people say. 46.4% say the Pistons. I'm surprised the Pistons have started off this. I mean, were they 23-6 after the win last night? I mean, it was startling. Early in the game, Asar Thompson had three fouls in like 3 minutes and then comes back and ends up with a double-double, 18-10, I think. Cade Cunningham ends up fouling out in the game. But, you know, he does Cade things and he had a bunch of assists and 24 points or something. The team is just, they're up to the task. The Pistons have played such great basketball this season. 23-6. Amazing. And Red Wings will play tonight. They're playing really good hockey lately. Let's hope they continue that trend. And the trend is they've gotten better goaltending. They've gotten better defense in front of the netminder, and the goaltending has been very solid for them. Gibson's been much more of the goaltender that they expected him to be when they acquired him. Talbot has also stepped up his game when they acquired him last year, and they expected him to be better. Now they've got two veteran netminders that are playing pretty good hockey and a host of players in front that are getting the job done too, and some of these younger guys are really showing up. John Leonard, who they just brought up from Grand Rapids, is hard not to. In 20 games in Grand Rapids, he had 29 points, including 19 goals in the 20 games. And he's got a couple of goals since becoming a Red Wing in the 4 games that he's played. And you're seeing other guys like Nate Danielson fit in nicely. Emmett Finney's done a great job. Sandin Pelikka on the back end is progressing as well. I like where this team is at. And yes, I know there's great disappointment that they didn't end up with Hughes. They did not end up with Hughes, but trading for Hughes was a very costly endeavor and one which Steve Yzerman was not willing to go to. And when you start looking at it and weighing what you would have lost and what you would have gained, yeah, you would have gained a hell of a player. What you would have lost would have been too much to lose to justify the move. Yeah, you'd be getting maybe the second best defenseman, offensive defenseman in the league, or arguably the best, depending on how you look at it, with Ian Makar. But the other side of that is what you would have lost. And for years, all I've heard about is how much Red Wing fans want a big, bruising defenseman. And here they have Simon Edvinson, who's 6'7". And if that was the key piece going the other way, then okay. I mean, if you're willing to part with him along with several other players and draft picks, then go ahead and do it. I'm not sure if that would have balanced out the way that you want it to balance out. Plus, you still have to sign the player who will be a free agent at some point. So, I get it. I was getting excited about the possibility the Red Wings could have acquired him. They did not. We'll see if he ends up getting to free agency and the Red Wings will be a player there. But in the meantime, just keep winning games. And that's what they've done. They've won games. They're playing really good hockey. They play again tonight. I look forward to to watching that game. Let's go back to the phones, 248-539-9797. Evan is in Detroit. You're next up here, 97.1.
Gator King, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm all right. Just want to get your guys' opinion real quick, because I know earlier in the season we talked about how, like, this is still Dan Campbell's offense, even after Ben Johnson left. But now that we're almost done with the season.
Well, I don't know what happened there, my friend, but you just hung up on yourself, hit a bad cell. If you want, please call back. We'll get you right up and see what it was you were going to say there. I got some feedback, some text coming in. Karsh, you're wrong on the Tesla call. He was pushed before he dipped his shoulder. As soon as he got pushed, it should have been the defensive pass interference. Two things. I'm not Karsh. I'm Gator. Doug will be back on Friday's show. And yeah, I think there was some contact with the defender, but I think that contact is legal where it is, because it's like a yard within the line of scrimmage. You're allowed to do that. And I don't think the push was egregious enough where it threw him off track and into the other defender. That's me. I'm okay with the way that it was called. I mean, I'm pissed they didn't win the game, but I didn't think it was that bad. And what really is frustrating to me is that it didn't need to happen in the first place, because I think regardless, St. Brown was going to be wide open. They had the right play called, but unfortunately, you got a player that runs into another player.
I understand why Lions fans and some of the Lions players and Coach Campbell are upset about that, the pick play that Tesla, the OPI that got called. I understand why they're upset, because it was kind of marginal.
Yeah.
But what the refs, I think, were doing were they're trying to be consistent. They had called a pick play earlier against the Steelers, right?
DK Metcalf.
Yep. And then earlier, they also called a pick, offensive pass interference on DK Metcalf, where he pushed off on one of the Lions' defensive backs, which ASB got called for in the last play of the game. I think they were just trying to be consistent throughout the game. Like, hey, we called it against them. We're going to call it against you as well. And that's what happened, even if it was a little bit softer than the other ones.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to see an opportunity wasted, and that's exactly what happened. They had two touchdowns at the end of the game. They were both called back for offensive pass interference calls. And, you know, one is too many, let alone two. But I can see why they were both called. And, you know, that goes back to first and goal from the one with 22 seconds to go. And because you were incapable of running the football throughout the game, I think that changes what Dan Campbell was going to do. A lot of people say it's an easy punch button. Put David Montgomery in and let's go. Well, when you hadn't shown any ability to run, you had like two positive runs out of 12, which is kind of literally what it was. They had a 17-yard run. They had a 6-yard run. And then the next 10 carries resulted in minus 8 yards. That's a problem. So I can see why they decided to throw the football after that. For the last several weeks, the Lions have had the worst pass defense thanks to injuries in the secondary and the Lions' front line being less than effective. So I'm worried regardless of the quarterback that starts for Minnesota, Jason and Wixom. Fair. I think that's fair. I still feel better about this game because I don't have a high opinion of J.J. McCarthy. No, it's not a Michigan State thing. I just don't have a high opinion of J.J. McCarthy if he's going to play. And if it's going to be their backup quarterback, good luck. You know, I recognize you've got some great weapons to work with, but, you know, the game hasn't slowed down for you just yet. You don't have enough reps, don't have enough experience where it's going to play in your favor. And maybe I'll have egg on my face next week when I come back and talk about it, but I feel pretty chesty about this one. After that answer, I no longer want Dan Campbell as head coach. We're never going to win anything with that type of mentality. Now, I'm not sure which cut he's referring to, but if it's the I go for 100 times out of 100 on the 4th and 3, here's what I was trying to come up with an analogy, King, and generally you'll see me going to movies. So I got done watching the John Candy documentary, I Like Me. And the reason it was titled I Like Me, it's a playoff Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where his character in the movie, Dell, is a salesman, a traveling salesman, and he spends time with Steve Martin's character, and he annoys Steve Martin with a bunch of different things. And it comes to a head, they get into a large argument, and Steve Martin just unloads on him. And his response to it is, well, I know I can be loud. I know I can be obnoxious. I know sometimes I do this and sometimes I do this. And he finds all his faults. But then in the end he goes, but I like me. My wife likes me. My friends like me. The people I do business with, they like me. And I liken that response to what Dan Campbell is. I can look at and fault and critique and say, I don't like when he does this. I don't like when he does that. But you know what? Despite all that, I like Dan Campbell. I like Dan Campbell a lot. You may think he's a goofball up in front of the podium and the microphone and saying crazy things. You may not like him when his face gets red. As one of the other previous callers said, he may not like it because he's constantly going for it on fourth and three when you want him to kick a field goal. He may, you know, for whatever reason. But in the end, this guy has been an incredible head coach for the Detroit Lions. He's been the best coach I've seen in my lifetime for this team. I think he's the perfect coach for this team. And I think what he's working with right now, with a skeleton crew of players at times, it's tough to win games when you're doing that. And yet they should have won the game on Sunday. And yes, you can be critical of deciding to go for it instead of kicking it. Would that have made a difference? Mathematically, if you look at it, yes, it would have made a difference in the end of the game. But I still like Dan Campbell. I like Dan. And I'll have his back still. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1. Oh, we're not going to see snow for a while, sadly. I want a white Christmas. You know, I don't like snow, but I do love a white Christmas. It's going to be a mucky Christmas, I think, is what it's going to be.
Maybe it's recency bias because it didn't happen last year either, but I don't remember a real nice white Christmas in a while.
It's been a while, right? Got all that snow in the last couple weeks, and now it's all gone.
We always get like a day or two early mid-December, and then nothing for Christmas.
Right.
And then January hits.
Right. January hits, and it's like 2 degrees and 8 inches of snow. Yeah, it's the best. Sad. I'm not happy about it. It is what it is. We'll deal with it. Lions are playing on Christmas Day. I think that's throwing some people for a loop. Plans change. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I'm not thrilled with it. It's a 4:30 kick, too. That's really kind of messes things up. It's right in the middle of all the action. We're supposed to be getting ready for dinner. What are we doing? If you postpone dinner till after the game, you're looking at eating after 8 o'clock or something like that, and that's late. I'm going to pause the game at halftime. We're going to eat and then probably open presents and then put the TV back on.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. Definitely pausing the game at halftime, and then we're all in the bubble.
I mean, what if they just did one game at night? Like, they have a, you know, they're doing it throughout the entire day. 3 games. 1, 4:30, 8:15.
Yeah, and 8:15. Oh. I mean, I'll enjoy the 8:15 game because at that point I'm just going to be, yeah, dinner will be done. I'm relaxed. Probably be on, you know, my third tequila. Really be enjoying it. Get the fireplace going. Dog will be all calm by that point. It should be great, but I can't imagine for like players and people that have to work that game. That sucks. That at night, oof, that's no fun. Let's get back to the phones. Evan, you're back. Thank you for calling back. What's going on?
Yeah, no problem. I think I hung up on myself. But what I was saying is, I was asking to get your guys' opinion on if this has always been Ben Johnson's offense, because with the Bears being 11-4 now, and we're slowing down at 8-6 or 8-7, with Dan Campbell calling the plays, it doesn't really seem like we're going to the right direction. Because like with Ben Johnson, his first year as a head coach, taking the Bears to the playoffs since I believe it was like 2018-2019 season, and it's his first year there, double digit wins, and so yeah, that's just what I'm trying to get at is, if do you guys think this has always been Ben Johnson's offense? Because I know earlier in the season we were saying this was always Dan Campbell's offense, but now we're almost done with the season, and some people are saying that, you know, the seat's kind of warming up for Dan Campbell a little bit. So yeah, I just want to get your guys' opinion on that.
Well, I would say this, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Evan. No, I think it's Dan Campbell's offense. Then Ben Johnson was running it, and Ben Johnson did a great job running it. And in the years that he was here to run it, I think this team pretty healthy up on that front line, which opens up everything else. This has not been the healthiest of offensive lines this year. You start with, you know, behind the eight ball when Frank Ragnow retires, and that's a problem. If I look at the totals of points since Dan Campbell started calling the plays this year, which starts with the Washington game, they've averaged 30 points a game. That's pretty good as it relates to the NFL. What is that statistically in the league? As I had to do some quick calculations there. Statistically, the best team in the league in scoring points are the Rams at 30.5. The Lions are number two at 30.1, which is effectively what they've done under Dan Campbell. Similar numbers under John Morton, by the way. And also, if I'm not mistaken, similar numbers to what they did last year. Well, last year they averaged 33 points a game. So a field goal more per game last year. Can you say that Frank Ragnow makes a field goal difference every game? I think that's pretty safe to say. So, yeah, I don't think offensive play calling is a problem. I don't see that. I see the defense being a major problem. And a defense that's giving up 440 yards a game over the last five games is alarming. That's really alarming. Don't like to see that at all. Let's get one more call in. John is next up here, 97.1. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, man? Happy holidays to you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Same to you, John.
Now, I got a couple of points. I wanted to cap off on the end of the game and cap off when we were saying, I know the run game was pretty inefficient, but don't you believe that that's go time? That was go time. That was in it to win it. They should have been stretching out bodies and going the distance, because that was detrimental to us going to the playoffs. It wasn't the same old Lions. I mean, we weren't out of contention as of then. Now we probably do not have a shot at the playoffs, sad to say.
Are you talking about the game against Pittsburgh, that they should have run the ball?
Yeah, at the one and goal line, just like, I'm saying, punch it in. I don't care anymore. Just punch it in. You got to go. This is go time. You got to try everything to get there. You know, we were trying to make the playoffs. Now we're probably not going to make it. And I know Goff is not a very fast man, but he had an open lane. And if he would have ran the ball, even if he wouldn't have made the end zone, I think he could have made half of that back. You know, and he still had about 20 or 30 seconds at that time. And I've had that conversation with my buddy and my dad. We were watching the game at my buddy's house, and I said, you know, it was go time. This is in it to win it. This is all the chips
all right.
We were playing.
No, I hear what you're saying, John. I guess I would, you know, that's one way they could have gone. They could have tried to punch it in once because they did have a timeout, and Jeff Rieger joins us in studio. You were sitting next to me. They had a timeout with 22 seconds to go, first and goal from the one. You could have tried to run it.
Could have. That run game worked so well throughout the course of the game.
They weren't running it, so I don't know.
They had a combined 15 yards. No, I think they got spooked.
And the two plays they called resulted in touchdowns. Unfortunately, they were both called back because of offensive pass interference calls, and it is what it is. And that's the frustrating part as time goes on, is that they had that game. They had the game won at the end. Now, you could say all the stuff that leading up to that they should have done more. I'm not going to disagree with that. Could have kicked the field goal, then you'd only kick a field goal at the end of the game. I'm not going to disagree with that. But when all is said and done, they had the game won, and they just didn't secure it. It's frustrating.
Well, they got lucky as heck, too, that Pittsburgh missed that field goal.
Yeah, I mean, that's football. It's part of the
100%.
Game. 100%. Yep. Rico is in studio as well. How are you, young man?
Good. It was funny because the pass interference penalty that they got.
Which one?
Which one?
That the Lions got.
Which one?
At midfield. No, not on the Lions. Pittsburgh got.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of a weak call.
Was very Ohio State Miami-esque. As the Pittsburgh Steelers players are celebrating, about 5 seconds later, two flags come flying in like, okay.
And then the next play was the tripping call.
Yeah, well, that was tripping. The dude was just like,
no, you're talking about tripping. The defensive pass interference when they tackled J-Mo, that one?
Yeah, at the 50.
Yeah, that was interference.
No. But no one called anything. The players are celebrating like, the game is over, the game is over. Actually, it's not over.
What's coming up real quick? 15 seconds.
The Scooble Tour. How do you feel about watching him do everything and yet not talking Tigers at all? Plus, are we watching the beginning of the end for the Lions?
Sounds good. Look forward to it next year, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.